5, verse 17, and I'll be reading through chapter 6, verse 2. First Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot be hidden, cannot remain hidden. Let all who are under a yoke of bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. Let's pray. O Lord, we thank you for this, your word. We pray that as we look at it this morning, that the truth will stand out clearly. Lord, be with this congregation. May they show honor to their elders as they look forward to determining whether or not a new teaching elder will come. May they heed the words that are here. And Lord, we thank you that as we live before you, you have given us a place to do your work, to live out the life that you set before us. Enable us to see how we can do that, showing honor and deserving honor. We thank you for your many blessings, and we pray that you'll be with my words, may they be true to yours, and that your people will be blessed this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Honor. On the morning of the Olympic 400-meter final on July 11th, 1924, now those of you who know me know that my favorite movie is Chariots of Fire, so you've got to have something from Chariots of Fire here. But anyway, Eric Little was handed a folded square of paper, a gift from one of the team masseurs. Now, in the movie, Jackson Schultz, one of the American runners, hands it to him, so it gives a little more effect with the movie. But reading it later, he found the message. In the old book, it says, "He that honors me, I will honor. Wishing you the best of success always." Recognizing the slightly misquoted reference to 1 Samuel 2:30, Little was profoundly moved that someone other than his coach believed in him and the stance he had taken in not racing on the Sabbath. Of course, Little went on to win the gold medal in that race and then later served as a missionary in China. He that honors me, I will honor. What is honor? Well, Calvin said, honor should produce reverence, obedience, and gratitude. Now, where does honor belong? Well, first of all, it belongs to God. Revelation 4:11 is profound in this. Looking at 10 and 11, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Honoring God should produce reverence, obedience, and gratitude. But then, who else should honor go to? Well, in Romans 12:9-12, Paul says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another with honor." So that's every one of us as believers are treating each other with honor. As we honor God with our lives, he has called us to honor those he has placed around us. Children, who are you supposed to honor? Children, honor your father and your mother. First commandment with a promise. We're also told to honor the elderly. Leviticus 19:32. Rulers, 1 Peter 2:17. Elders in the church here, and even masters here. And others who serve Christ faithfully, Philippians 2:29. As well as the Sabbath day and marriage. So these are all things that we should honor. Honor in the Greek is just time, and that might sound a little familiar because that's where Timothy gets his name. And Paul's writing to Timothy, and so we see honor here. It's used for just what someone is owed for the work that they've done. So that person has value, and so that value is given back. But it's also honor in the sense of that respect, caring for that person, looking up to that person. As we show honor, both to God and those around us, it should produce, back to Kelvin, reverence, obedience to those in authority, and gratitude. Now here, who's worthy of honor? Well, it starts out in verse 17, the elders who rule well are considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the preaching and teaching. Now that has to have something to do with just showing them respect, honoring them, those elders that God has placed before us. As we honor our God, we honor those who he has put in authority over us. So we show honor. But that double honor probably has a value to it as well. Because that's where Paul goes next. For the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. And the laborer deserves his wages." So first of all, you don't muzzle the ox. You let the ox as he's laboring for you. He's on the threshing floor and he's carrying this big threshing sledge around. You don't muzzle him so he can't get any food or anything. You let him eat while he's threshing out the grain. And it's interesting, this is one place where Paul says, the scripture says, and then he quotes a verse from the Old Testament. Then he quotes something Jesus said. You shall, the laborer deserves his wages. So in terms of those elders who are ruling well, worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and teaching, take care of them. Make sure that they are able to do the things that they need to do, that God has given them charge to do well. So they shouldn't be burdened by other things. This congregation, I think, understands that and does that. So I encourage you to continue to do that. They're worthy of double honor. But there can be problems. Elders should be protected from people who are not honorable. And the people should be protected from elders who are not honorable. So you get both here. Paul goes, next of all, verse 19, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. Do elders sometimes do things that get people angry at them? Now, your elders probably don't. I don't think any of your elders have ever done something that has caused someone to be angry at them. It happens to me all the time. So, you know, maybe it's the difference of, you know, the way we deal with people. But the fact is that, you know, sometimes when people are doing something they really shouldn't be doing, they don't like to be told that they shouldn't be doing that. They don't like to be confronted with sin. And so, you know, an elder doing his job well will probably have every now and then someone come up and say things about this elder because they don't really like what they heard from him. The elder needs to be protected. Don't take a charge against an elder unless it's been verified by two or three people, because one person might have something against this guy and come out with charges that are false. So take care. Never let someone accuse an elder of something without really checking it out, making sure you're not accepting just the word of one person. Make sure that, hey, maybe there is a problem here, okay? So don't assume that just one person's voice means that the elder has done something wrong. But on the other side of things, the people need to be protected from elders who aren't honorable. Can you imagine that? Have you ever been in a church where an elder commits sin? Well, I've been in a few. And that's a difficulty. How do you deal with an elder who is not acting in a way that deserves honor? Well, that's where Paul goes next. As for those who persist in sin, there are elders that have sinned. They are men. They can sin. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all. Now, probably this meaning all of the elders. Some would take it to meaning the whole church, but at least all of the elders, because as Paul goes on, he says, so that the rest may stand in fear. So the rest of the elders, I believe, may recognize that, hey, we don't have carte blanche here. We need to make sure that we're following the word of God so that when others look at us, if they're following us, they're following the Lord. They're not following us off on the wrong path. So Paul instructs Timothy to make sure the elders are guarded against dishonorable people, and that the people are guarded against elders that don't deserve that honor. Make sure you're taking care of those who are in sin. And thinking about that, thinking about the difficulties that may be there, be careful in choosing elders. Don't lay your hands on them too readily. Do not be hasty in the laying out of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Don't take someone who looks good, but you don't really know them that well. Some churches, you get a new person in, and boy, they're a stellar person in the community. Maybe they've got a lot of money, you know, and you want to, you know, really get them involved quickly. And so, you know, hey, let's make them an elder. I've seen that happen before. That's not a good thing. Don't lay your hands on too quickly. So the laying out of hands, of course, is that ordaining to the office, where if you've seen an ordination, you've seen the other elders or the presbytery lay hands on that one who is being ordained. And so this is the idea here. Don't do it too hastily. Make sure you check out this person, understand this person well before they're ordained to this office. Okay? You don't want to have to deal with the sin and rebuke them later. Take care before they come into the office and care for them. Because, you know, sometimes sins are obvious. When you look around at the people around you, do you know the people who are sinning? Well, guess what? It's all of us. But anyway, but some are very obvious. You know, this person is living with another. This person is doing this or doing that. That's sin. But some sins don't show up right away. They aren't as conspicuous. Get to know the person before laying hands on them. Get to know this person to see those kinds of things that might come out after a while. So be careful about the laying on of hands. On the other hand, you know, sometimes it's not obvious when people are doing something good. Over time, you can see, you know, you've known the people that sort of work in the background, that they're always around, but they're never up front. People don't recognize all of the things they're doing until maybe they're gone, you know. And the fact is that the good things eventually will come out. The good things that people are doing will rise to the surface. And you should see that in those whom you are choosing to go into this office of elder. So be careful in choosing elders. Now, I included the first part of chapter 6 for a very important reason. Look what it says there about slaves and their masters. Let all who are under the yoke of as bondservants, slaves, regard their own master as worthy of all honor. When you think of slaves and their masters, do you think of the slave master as being worthy of all honor? Well, probably most people don't. Now, slavery and at this time was probably not quite as bad as slavery was in the United States, but there weren't too many slaves that could say that my master is honorable. Paul doesn't say whether they deserve honor. He says, regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, no matter who that master is. Now, he makes it clear that so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. And then he goes on to those who have Christians. Now, as Paul went around and preached the gospel, whole households were saved. Both the owners of the slaves and the slaves within a household, many times those they were all saved. And they became brothers in Christ. Paul wants to make sure that they don't disrespect that fellow brother in Christ. The slave in the church, the slave could be an elder. And the master, just someone else who sits in the pews. But the slave is still to regard them with respect. Don't be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. What can we take from this in terms of today? Now, I don't think any of you would be considered slaves, right? Some of you might feel like a slave when you go to work. You know, I'm not sure. But the fact is, you're not in that position. Or are you? Where has God placed you? Where has God placed you? Where has God placed you within the church? Are you an elder? Well, do your work so that you're worthy of double honor. Are you just someone who comes and is under the authority of the elders? Treat them with double honor. Are you a worker in a job that, you know, may not be so great? Well, treat your employer with honor. If they aren't a believer, guess what? What's your job? Or if they're not a believer, you're shining with the light of Christ. You're using every opportunity to show Christ to in that workplace. You're to show Christ to those people who may not be worthy of honor, but God has placed you in that particular circumstance so that you can show honor and glorify God. And that's the key. Wherever God has placed you, if you have people that God has placed you where they have authority over you, whether it's parents, whether it's your employer, whoever it happens to be, show them honor. Be sure that you're doing that. Now, in the church, remember, the elders need to be protected from people who might be dishonorable, and the people need to be protected from elders who might not be honorable. But there's a way to deal with that. We all need to treat our elders with respect, treat them as worthy of double honor. If there's a problem, though, then it needs to be dealt with. It's interesting that quote that I started with from 1 Samuel, that was said in the midst of a curse. Eli and his sons weren't serving God very well. Priests of God that were sort of taking everything for themselves, taking the best of the meat, taking, you know, just not doing their job in the way that they should have been doing their job. God comes in and says, "He that honors me, I will honor. But if you don't honor me, you won't be regarded very highly." And he takes away that priestly line from Eli and that line from Aaron and gives it over to the other son of Aaron and his descendants. Their job has been taken away. The church needs to deal with elders who are not acting in an honorable way, but that should be done in a fashion that honors God. Who is worthy of double honor? Elders who rule well are worthy of double honor. That includes both our respect, our honoring them as people, and it includes how we care for them. Don't muzzle the ox while it's threshing the grain. The workman is worthy of his wages. So honor your elders. But honor anyone where God has given you someone in authority over you. Masters and slaves. Slave needs to honor his master, no matter who that master is, a good one or a bad one. Treat them with honor. If they're a bad one, show the light of Christ. Demonstrate how God has changed you so in whatever circumstances you can see that he has a purpose for where he has placed you and you can live for him. If he's given you a good circumstance, use that to show the blessing of God on your life. Honor. Seek to outdo one another with honor. And live your life giving the most honor, the glory and the honor and the power to that God who has reached down and plucked you from the pit of sin and given you a life to live for him. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the work that you have done in our lives. We thank you for the people that you have placed around us to whom we should give honor. And Lord, we pray that as a church, that the elders here will be ruling well and worthy of double honor. That any difficulties that come up are dealt with in a way that shows that honor, but deals with sin. We thank you for the blessing of being able to live for you and having a purpose in this life. Let us shine with the light of Christ as we live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.